So we could call them the most dysfunctional family in the Torah. Wait, you say, the most dysfunctional family? Aren't they all dysfunctional in the Torah? Killing a sibling, stealing a birthright. But this dysfunctional family, think of it in modern terms as a blended family, four mothers and one father. Malicious gossip and spreading rumors. Violence, a brother sold into slavery. Sexism, the only daughter virtually ignored. Grief, the loss of a child. Deceit, lying about the fate of that missing child. You could think Amazon, you could think Netflix, you could think this week's Torah, the Torah. So which family is it? It is the family of Jacob and the stories of Joseph. Now the rabbis, at the end of the narrative, when all of the conflict is being resolved, here the family has made a new home in Egypt. Joseph has said, it wasn't your fault. God wanted me to come here. There's been reconciliation, and now the brothers are gathered around Jacob's bed. And Jacob is worried. He's worried about the continuity, about will these children continue to love God. And the rabbis create a story. And the way they tell it is like this. Jacob gathered his sons and said, gather yourselves together. I want to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And Jacob, having been a struggler in his life, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel because he struggled with an angel. Jacob becomes faint and he says, perhaps one of you is unfit. Like Abraham had a child that he thought was unfit. But then all of the children answered at that moment and said, hear, O Israel, hear Jacob, Adonai, the eternal our God, Adonai is one. Just as there is only one God in your heart, O Father, so too there is only one God in our hearts. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And then, according to the Midrash, Jacob responds, blessed be the name of God's glorious dominion forever and ever. The story comes from the 3rd century, and it represents the affirmation of the Shema. And in this context, when there was so much violence against the Jewish community and the Roman Empire, the story was a way of saying, we will always maintain our faith. The temple may not be with us anymore, but we will maintain faith in God. So this week's Torah portion has the Shema, it has the Via Hafta, it has the second version of the Ten Commandments. And it has Elvish instead of Hebrew. And we have the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the eternal our God, the eternal is one. So think of the different places in Jewish life where we say the Shema. When, besides a Friday night service, when are times when we say the Shema? I'll let you call out the answers and then I'll repeat them. Can anybody think of times when we say the Shema? Before you go to bed, the bedtime Shema. It's a beautiful one. Anybody else? Excuse me? When you lie down. Okay, great. Yes. When you get on an airplane. Yeah, thank God. Sometimes you do want to applaud when you land, too. Yes. When else do we say the Shema? Think about your kids. When are other times when your kids have been involved saying the Shema? Okay. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Think of bar and bat mitzvah. When is the Shema said during a bar and bat mitzvah? Where in the service? What's happening? What's happening at that moment in the service? When the Torah is being held, we take the Torah out of the ark, and Rabbi Rappaport passes the Torah to a child. Rabbi Crystal holds the microphone, and we say, and the child says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Think a little younger. When else? When does small children? Yes, consecration. There you go. And now, think about a very long day of fasting. When in that long day of fasting is the Shema a culmination and we know we can almost eat? At the very end of the Yom Kippur service, we say Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And when someone passes away, the Shema is the last thing that one is supposed to say. So let's think now of the words of the Shema. Let's think first about the word to hear or to listen. Actually, I want to roll back for a second. You know, every once in a while when I'm carrying the Torah and you know, I'm going to be doing the Hakafah and just saying the Shema and holding the Torah, man, it's this amazing moment of transcendence. And, you know, the idea of saying the Shema when one passes away. Last Saturday, a very dear friend, my friends Frank and Marge from New York, and Marge had passed away a few years ago. And when I wrote to the family, I described, you know, I was writing a condolence note, as the consummate Jewish gentleman. You know, he was a person of great integrity, of love, and also the person that would have Ohel Chaim during the Kiddush. And I just hold in my thought, you know, when he was ill towards the end of saying the Shema, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. So Shema is to listen. Now we can all think of moments of listening. And when I used to go up in the summers to a Jewish spiritual retreat center, we had mishpacha groups, we had family groups at the end. But this wasn't a normal family, because with this family, we would reflect on the day, not what did you eat or where did you go for a walk, but as you were doing spiritual growth, what struck you? And when each person in the group shared, instead of offering advice, how many families do that, or trying to fix the person, we just listened. And at the end, after the person finished speaking, they would say, Dibarti, meaning I have spoken. And then everybody in the group would say, Shemati, meaning I have heard. And it's an amazing thing, just to be heard. And there's a wonderful passage talking about this idea by a rabbi from the Bay Area, Rabbi Adina Allen. And she says, the Shema begins with an imperative. Listen, just that word alone is a powerful call. Listen, it's not an easy thing to do. More than the simple act of hearing, true listening requires ourselves to open up to another's experience so that heart touches heart and we are changed. Each of us, no matter how different we are from one another, are created by God. The Shema calls us not merely to listen, but to remember that despite our differences, there is one force of connection in the universe that animates all of us. The next word, Yisrael, struggling with God. This idea from my friend Rabbi Karen Kedar. That is Yisrael. And what does it mean to struggle with God? And Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev, one of the great Hasidic masters, he was really known as the person of ultimate compassion. And there's a story about Rabbi Levi Yitzhak that said he saw somebody smoking on Yom Kippur. And he goes up to the person and says, you know, it's Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to smoke or light a fire. And the person said, I know. And Rabbi Levi Yitzhak said, see, eternal God, that even when your children are sinning, that they won't lie. And there's a wonderful piece called The Kaddish of Rabbi Levi Yitzhak, thinking of the compassion of the good that he saw in each person, but also thinking about the great sadness that sometimes happened in the world. And it's called The Kaddish of Rabbi Levi Yitzhak. He said, Yit Gadal V'Yit Kadash, eternal God. The Germans say that their God is God, and we're attacked. Yit Gadal V'Yit Kadash, eternal God. The Russians say that their God is God, and we're persecuted. Yit Gadal V'Yit Kadash, in Poland, eternal God, we know you're with us. Glorified be your name. To struggle with God is to say, man, there is incredible beauty in the world. There's incredible sadness. I can't find an answer, but I'm still connected in faith. That's Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. So the word Adonai, Yud Hey Vav Hey, is God's attribute of loving kindness. Eloheinu is God's attribute of justice. And so being a parent, you have to combine both together. Sitting on one side is mercy. Sitting on the other side is boundary. And in Jewish mysticism, when you combine the two together, that's when you get beauty. Hear, listen, and be present. Yisrael, our strugglers, Adonai Eloheinu, the eternal, our God, that balance in the world, Adonai is one. So what is one to each of us? In the ancient world, one meant that there aren't other gods that we believe in. But the Sfas Emes, another Hasidic master, offered this idea about one. He said, he was writing to his grandchildren, the proclamation of oneness that we declare by saying, Hear, O Israel, needs to be understood as it truly is. Not that there's just one God, but that everything in the world is connected to God. That everything reminds us of the presence of God. That God is one. My image of that is if you think of Thanksgiving after family has grown, where there have been arguments, but finally everybody sits at the Thanksgiving table and does the looking out and feeling that sense of peace. That's one. Rabbi Larry Kushner tells a story about the building of the temple. And each person contributed. They didn't know. And the thing is, they had just enough. So no one said, mine wasn't needed. And no one said, without me, it wouldn't happen. And when they saw how it all fit together in this marvelous mosaic, they said, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the eternal our God. Hear, listen, you strugglers. We find balance in the world. We live with that greater sense of one. Shabbat Shalom.